And you very well know that the cross was not the end of the story. Absolutely not. And suffering did not have the final word in the life of Christ, by no means. Death did not have the final word. And I'm saying, whatever you're going through this morning, death is not the outcome that you need to look at. You need to see the resurrection. God working in your life in such a way that He changes everything around for His glory.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, August 9th, 2026. Pastor Zone is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Obedience in Our Daily Lives. And our text comes to us from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And now here's Pastor Zone.
Well, it's always good to be in the house of the Lord and to be able to sing unto Him and to express our gratitude. Because this is what we do when we come to church. The purpose of coming to church is to have communion with one another and to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us and helping us. We often say it, I'll repeat it again, we have the Word of God that we go to. And then we have the Spirit of God that speak to us as to what we have read and what we have understood. And then we come to the house of the Lord and it's rectified, it's verified. The three have to be there. There are no lone rangers in the gospel. All of us belong to one another. And we thank God for coming to church and going through a routine. But in the routines is when we find our strength. So our scripture today is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And I think we can look at it right now and we'll tee off. Because my subject today is very simple. It's called obedience in our daily lives. I'm not coming down on anyone. I'm just presenting to you the fact that obedience is an integral part of our walk with Jesus. In the arms of love, He causes us to follow Him. And it's in that humble, loving, following Jesus that we discover the immense grace that He has towards us. So the Lord had said to Abraham, go to your country, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of earth will be blessed through you. And verse 4, so Abraham went. Abraham what?
Went.
He went. As the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. 75 years. How many can relate to 75? Ooh, I'm frightened here. We have a geriatric church. Well, this is the text that we're going to look at, because there are moments in your life and in my life when obedience to God requires a great decision. But most of the time, obedience is expressed through the ordinary day-to-day affairs. It's not the big thing, the small things. So we obey God when the way that we speak to our family. We obey God the way we treat difficult people. Have any one of you encountered difficult people in your life? Good, thank you. Okay. So we obey God when we forgive. We obey God when we tell the truth, even when truth is going to cost us something. And we obey God when we respond to the needs of those that would be easier to ignore. That's the one that gets me. It really does. It's this whole thing is drastic. I think I'm going to go to John 3:16 and stay there and forget the message, you know. But to tell you the truth, obedience really begins when we listen carefully to what God is saying, what God is asking, and then we do it. You know, it's possible that the Lord speaks to you and you agree with it, and you don't do it. James 1:22. It says, prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves before. So when we come to church and when we read the Bible, when we read the word, when we fellowship together, it's not just to have fun or to accumulate information about God, but it's the process in which God is forming us. He is forming you and me. He wants his word, to become visible in the way you live. So Abraham is our example this morning. There'll be others. We find Abraham obeying the Lord without knowing anything. Or actually, he doesn't know everything. Genesis 12, we said it. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and from your relatives and from your father. I mean, leave everything that is familiar to you. Think of it. Everything that is familiar to you. Your country, your relatives, your culture, your language, your father's household. Leave everything. Aren't you glad you're not Abraham? Well, the scripture tells us on that God told him to do that, and he did not give him a map. He did not explain every stage of the journey. He simply said to him, go to the land that I will show you. And what does Abraham do? Well, we read it. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him. So God spoke. God speaks to you. Abraham listened. You listened to God. Faith obeyed. You obey the Lord by faith. And the pilgrim begins his walk. And you begin to walk with the Lord. I want you to know, without any shadow, that Abraham did not understand everything about what God was doing in his life. He did not know he was going to encounter the hardships that he encountered, but he knew enough to take the next step. What a revelation. It's not the whole picture, it's the next step. Now, that should be easy for all of us. It's the next step. Not the whole thing, the next step. And that's how obedience usually works in our lives. We want God to show us the whole road before we begin. We want every question to be answered, and we want to determine whether or not we're going to do it or not going to do it, and all that kind of stuff. But God frequently gives us enough light just to take the first step, and that's it. Now, I'm comfortable with that, trusting the Lord. I think if I knew everything that I was going to face when I started in the ministry, I would have never gone into the ministry. I would have been maybe a butcher dealing with meat, you know. But actually, there was another trade that they wanted me to develop in high school, and that was the printing press, you know. Well, that all of that's out of business now. None of that thing works, so offset press and all that stuff. I mean, I thought I knew what I really wanted to do, but the Lord had his hand on my life, and I had to obey what he said for me to do, not knowing all this stuff that was coming ahead. But Abraham just took the step and said, I'm going to trust and I'm going to believe God. And so true obedience doesn't say to God, I will obey when I understand, because you won't understand. You can't possibly understand. Abraham faced many more difficulties that he would have never imagined in his life. Painful stories of his children and his wife. But Abraham still was willing to move on and to trust God step by step so that he would obey God's call in his life. He had a path, an invisible path, but a path nevertheless. He did not see everything, but God did. So he trusted the Lord that he would straighten the path he was on. And that's your life and my life. We don't know, but he does. So when we commit every day to him to guide us, he will guide every step of the way, even when we don't feel it. And usually when we don't feel it is when he's really there. Now, we need to understand the voices of obedience, and the scripture tells us very clearly that we need to obey his word. I remember the story of Samuel. When Samuel was a little child, and he heard this voice, and God was calling him. And he responded saying, "Speak, for your servant is listening." There are times in our life that God will speak to us directly like that through Scripture. He would say things directly to you. In the case of Mary, she encountered the angel and told him that she would be giving birth to Jesus. And she said, "Behold, your bondservant, may it be done according to your word." Mary did not know everything that was going to come upon him, but she obeyed the Lord. And when God, the Lord called Peter and Andrew and James and John, they left their nets, they left everything and followed him. Their obedience began with an ordinary act. They stopped what they were doing, and they took the next step in following Jesus. In every case, we find obedience was more than a feeling. It became an action. Just do this. Well, I don't feel like it. Just do it. Just do it, because God's involved in that action in your life. Possibly the greatest example of obeying, of following God's will and obeying God's voice is with Jesus himself. When we go into the New Testament, when we find Jesus Christ on the night before the crucifixion, he went to the Mount of Olives, and he knew what was going to come upon him. He knew the betrayal was coming. He knew the false accusations were upon him, the humiliation, the physical suffering, the cross that waited him. And it's interesting to see that Jesus, knowing what was coming up, he said, "Father, if you're willing, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. If there's any other way we can get this thing done, cut me loose from this. It's just find another way." And then he finishes, "Yet not my will, but your will be done." And sometimes we find ourselves in moments like that, where we're caught in a path that we can't change. We're caught in a place where we can't move right or left. The only thing we can do is to say, "Let your will be done. Let your will be done." And, you know, Jesus' prayer was not really a sentimental prayer. He was in agony. He didn't pretend he was suffering. He didn't pretend it was painless. Anguish was there, and he brought that anguish before the Father. And, you know, we go through things in our lives, never to the degree of what Jesus went through, but similar to it in the sense of our commitment and direct response as it should be to God. And we come to him and we say, "Lord, this is tough. This is agonizing." And when you and I obey the Lord, when you and I hear from God to do something above and beyond that which we thought, obedience does not mean that you're going to deny your fears. Obedience does not mean that you're going to pretend that the road is going to be just wonderful and easy. You can tell God exactly how you feel. Your daughter, your son, the in-law, the outlaw, like they say, you know, the brother, the sister, the this, the that. You can tell the Lord exactly how it's going on. And you can say to the Lord in absolute obedience and absolute surrender to the Lord, you can say, "Father, I don't want to do this. Lord, this I don't want. Lord, I'm caught in a vice. Get me out of here, Lord. I don't understand this, Lord. If it's possible, remove this cup." Yeah. Yeah. You would be a phony if you did not pray that way, because you don't want to do that. But there's a God who oversees things, and you trust him, and you say, "Lord, let your will be done, not mine." And sometimes we go through the, we go through it with pain and anguish. But it's part of the obedience. It's part of our walk with the Lord. When you say, "Lord, I don't want this, but yet not my will. Will it be you? And I'm going through this thing right now, Lord, and I take this to be part of your will in my life, and I will stick to it. I will do it. I will do it, Lord. I will do it. The will of the Father led Jesus to the cross, by the way. But it didn't stop at the cross. It led to the resurrection. So there is a process of anguish and there's a process of pain that leads you to the cross. But at the same time, the cross leads you to resurrection, to new life. And you can't get new life unless you go through the cross. And you don't go to the cross unless you're obedient and you understand that that is God's will in your life. And you very well know that the cross was not the end of the story. Absolutely not. And suffering did not have the final word in the life of Christ, by no means. Death did not have the final word. And I'm saying whatever you're going through this morning, death is not the outcome that you need to look at. You need to see the resurrection. God working in your life in such a way that he changes everything around for his glory. So, the path of obedience for you, for me, may lead you through sacrifice. Yeah. How about disappointment? How many Christians do we have here that have been disappointed about something? Oof, please. And even suffering. But see, it always keeps us in the hand of God. Because we say, I'm not alone. I'm in the arms of love. I'm not alone in this thing. The Lord is guiding me. The Lord is shaping me. The Lord is doing something that I don't know what it will be, but it's something brand new. And it's something that I'm submitting myself to you, Lord. I'm in your arms, Lord, in your hands. And often we don't immediately see what God is doing. We don't. But when the resurrection comes, you can see what God has done in your life through suffering. Pentecostal people don't like to hear the word suffering. That's in the Bible. A couple of more things. Oh, yeah, I got plenty of time. So some people are going, I guess, time. In Luke 9:23 says, if anyone wants to come after me, let him. He must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Because taking up the cross and taking up God's direction in your life is a daily event. Daily event. If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I thought when I gave my heart to Jesus, that was it. You know, different ways in which people find the Lord. The most common is you come forward, you pray for you, and you say, Jesus, come into my heart. He's my Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And you go home saying, if I die, I go to heaven. Well, yeah, but that's not the end of it. That's not the whole point. You got to take up your cross daily. So, taking up the cross of Christ is not one dramatic event in your life. It's a daily event where every single day you say, I am going to follow God's voice in my life. I'm surrendering my will to do his will, specifically in areas that you know that God is addressing you and speaking to you about. Some examples, taking up your cross may mean forgiving someone who hurts us. Oh, this is so difficult to do. So difficult to do. Because sometimes we trust people. And the very people we trust are the ones that hurt us. But you got to do that. We heard a message on that a few weeks ago. Sometimes we need to apologize when we rather defend ourselves. I work in an academic environment. Let me just tell you, these things are very hard. It may mean serving when no one notices, and it may mean remaining faithful when we are tired and fatigued. It means refusing opportunity because we know it would be inappropriate or it would compromise our integrity. Hey, it could be so many things, taking up the cross and following the Lord, being his servants, following him. You know, the cross is the place where you and I surrender our will to God because we have chosen to follow him. I'll say it again, because we have chosen to follow him. No one can impose this on you. You take up the cross and you follow him. And Jesus is not asking us to go anywhere he has not gone there before. He's been there. The one who tells you to take up the cross is the one who first carried the cross. So you're not coming or walking into unexplored territory. You're following the steps of a master who conquered death. It's safe. It's safe. One more thing. Maybe I've got three more things, but you know, it's axiomatic that before you can obey God, you must learn from him. Or you must learn to listen. What is he saying? Sometimes we act too quickly. But we need to know that obedience begins by saying every single day of our lives, one way or the other, Lord, what are you asking me today? What must I do today, Lord? What is the area, Lord? You know, and there are four ways in which, or five ways, we listen through Scripture, how he speaks to us through Scripture. The Holy Spirit will reveal and lead you to things that he's working on your life. We listen through prayer when we talk with the Lord, where you create space to listen to God. Prayer is two-way communication. It's not yet you dumping all your needs. It's sitting down and listening to God and having a relationship together with him, asking him questions and listening to him speak to you. It really is. We also listen to God's ways through the community of faith. Here, right here, what's going on right now? Believe it or not, you are God's voice to many people here. Voices of encouragement, voices of absolute victory, and voices where we need to pray and seek God with you. We also need to pay attention to the needs that God places before us. Boy, I could tell you a story right now. Yeah, I got time. Oh, boy. No, maybe not. All I can tell you is that when you have opportunities to do things, you must do them then. We were going to build in this side of the building. It was going to be a two-story building. It would have taken the place where the water fountain is and all that section there. What a beautiful kitchen, maybe the size of the sanctuary, all of this. Second story and a new nursery facilities and the whole nine yards. Some of you who were here, remember we had services. We had three services on Sunday packed out with a choir up here, this, that, the other. And we were raising funds. And we came to a certain moment when we had reached our max. We couldn't, we just couldn't go anymore. And we had just a few days to present the funds to the district so that they could match our offering. And but we needed to have that. And we needed an additional $60,000. We're not going to ask you for $60,000, so don't worry about it. So I remember that Sunday. I remember that Sunday so clearly. It was a different pulpit, but it was right here. And I said, we need $60,000 so that we can do this building on the side. We're now entering into the decade of the 90s. Actually, it was 92, 93. We desperately need to be able to face society with this building. We need to have this. We need $60,000. There was a silence. I've never seen silence. You know. Well, it never happened. No money came in. So that was it. So we had to go back and rearrange things. And again, our church council saying, well, we tried, blah, blee, blue, blah. We couldn't do it. We just going to go on doing what we're doing, you know. Years go by. 10 years. Maybe almost 20 years. And someone who was part of our church at that time had left the church, was no longer coming to us. His wife was sick. And And we encountered and we talked. And he wanted to talk to me. And he said, I want you to know, he says, that I had those $60,000, but I didn't want to give it. And I took that money and you're not going to believe this. And I got a key to the hotel at the Baker Place and whatever. What was that name of that place? You remember that? It was Jim Baker and the services that they had, and they had a hotel room, and they spent $60,000 for them to get a key to go, and they could go into this special village, Christian village, and he would have access all the time. When they went there, it was occupied and couldn't get in. But, huh?
PTL,
yeah, that type of stuff, yeah. So then he says, I repent so much for not doing what I could have done. So when God presents, gives you an opportunity to do something good, you should do it then. Amen. Because now we don't have that there. So you and I humbly must scream humbly before the Lord, what is God asking me to do? And then we do it. And it's not bad for us to wait until clarity comes up, when God makes it perfectly clear. Perhaps God is asking you to take only one step today. Perhaps the Lord is asking you not to take 10 steps, but simply just do the first step in the journey. Maybe he's speaking to you and saying you need to forgive someone, or you need to reconcile somebody, or you need to return to the call of God in your life. God has called some of you to ministry. Where is that call? How is it being evidenced? God has not discarded you. You need to resolve that issue in your heart. Maybe God is asking you to stop doing something that is drastically damaging your life, your witness. Well, concluding for sure now, this is the third time. Like Abraham, you may not know where the road leads. Like Mary, you don't understand everything that your answer will require. Maybe like the disciples, you may have to leave something behind, the nets. Or maybe like Gethsemane, you may need to pray, not my will, but your will be done. But I want you to know that obedience often is not always dramatic. As I said, often it is quiet, a quiet yes. It is a yes to do something right now. You offer it in the middle of the day, and you know God spoke to you, and you do it. So God listens to your cry, and you listen to what God says, and you obey by faith, and you as a disciple, you follow the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for speaking to our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, the times when we have heard your word but have not obeyed you. Forgive us for wanting to know the entire journey before taking the first step. Lord, give us the faith of Abraham who went, and when you called him, he just went. Give us the openness of Samuel, who said, speak, for your servant is listening. Lord, help us to surrender like Mary, who said, may it be done according to your word. But Lord, above all, form in us the obedience of Jesus, who prayed, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, show each one of us what you're asking today. Then give us the courage to take up that cross and to follow Christ and to do what you have placed before us. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Will you stand? The gentleman who could have given money to the church asked me to forgive him. Of course I did. But that did not in any way change the fact that we don't have the building that we could have had. So be wise in your decisions in following the Lord and doing what needs to be done for his glory. Be smart. Smart. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Oh, come on. I don't know what you're saying yes to, so say yes, Lord.
Yes.
All right. Do it. It's amazing what God will do in your life. Okay, so you'll face the cross. So what? You follow with a resurrection, a brand new life. Hallelujah. Do it one more time.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Hand clap to the Lord, huh? Let's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, church, this is the day. And those words mean something. Rejoice and be glad in it. All right. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord, especially the young couple. All right.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bb4square.org. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, check out the live stream here on YouTube. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.